The United Nations Security Council voted this month to impose new sanctions on Iran for its refusal to halt uranium enrichment. The agreement is the third set of UN measures, backed by the United States and Europe, to restrict Iran's finances and discourage its nuclear efforts. Still, Iran's government remains defiant, saying it will continue to pursue its right to develop a nuclear energy program. Michael Jacobson is a former official in the Treasury Department's Office of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. He says U.S. and international sanctions have curtailed Iran's foreign business, but have not hurt the government.
There, it's been less effective to this point. Iran obviously has not completely backed down off of its nuclear ambitions, and that is obviously the key question as to whether or not that will happen.
One reason is that the soaring price of oil has bolstered Iran's government, in spite of a ban on U.S. oil firms investing in Iran. Gary Huffbauer of the Peterson Institute for International Economics says oil revenues have enabled Iran to purchase technology and hire nuclear engineers, often from the former Soviet Union.
So they have a lot of money, and any sanctions we do is kind of marginal to that amount of money.
Despite the latest UN agreement on sanctions, Western nations have been pushing for even stronger measures at the world body. But Iran's trading partners, especially Russia and China, have voted to reject some of the toughest UN proposals. Huffbauer says the impasse between Western allies and Asian partners has allowed Iran to further its nuclear efforts.
Iran is getting quiet but definite support from Russia and China, major powers. So when that's at play, that's pretty definitive.
Sanctions against Burma have also had limited success at forcing the military government to halt human rights violations and repression of its people. A sharp crackdown on protests led by Buddhist monks and pro-democracy activists last September demonstrated firm control in spite of sanctions. Aung Din, policy director for the U.S. Campaign for Burma in Washington, says sanctions are important but must be combined with other tools.
Sanctions alone does not bring any change in our country or any particular country. Sanctions should combine with the strong diplomatic effort and plus the strong movement inside the country.
New laws pending in the U.S. Congress would tighten the economic restrictions and create new support for democratic initiatives in Burma. Aung also wants to see Western nations actively engage Burma's government and its allies, especially China and India, to try to broker a deal with Burma's opposition groups. No U.S. sanctions have endured as long as the economic and trade embargo on Cuba. After 46 years of sanctions, the island's communist rulers remain in power, and the U.S. policy has become a frequent target of criticism. In Miami, some Cuban exiles have begun to challenge the embargo, saying it only hurts Cubans on the island. They chafe at a 2004 law that limits Cubans residing here from sending remittances and making visits to family on the island. Alvaro Fernandez, head of the Cuban-American Commission for Family Rights, says the rules are splitting apart families.
Their argument, it helps the Cuban government. More important to me, to help my family.
With the recent transfer of power from Fidel Castro to his brother Raul, some have questioned the embargo's future. U.S. officials say lifting the measures now would appear to reward Cuba's government for maintaining its anti-democratic policies. While imperfect, some say the embargo remains one of few tools Washington can use to pressure Cuba's government to change. Andy Gomez is a senior fellow at the University of Miami.
I don't think from an academic point of view that I would be ready to give him my last piece of paper, as weak as it is, without asking for something in return.
U.S. officials say they recognize the need to make sanctions more effective, but they are unlikely to abandon them as a foreign policy tool anytime soon. Brian Wagner, VOA News, Miami.